Good morning. As you can tell, I am not Joshua. Joshua has caught some sort of bug from a small child, I believe. And he's not feeling very good, but he's very glad to say that it's not COVID. So he's had a PCR test and it came back negative. So that is good news. But we obviously want to pray for Joshua and the family, that God will look after them at this time. So welcome everybody, welcome to all you who are here, everybody who's watching online, and also those who are watching on the catch-up service as well. We pray that God will be with us. So we're going to go into the blether as usual, and then we'll start the service proper. Okay.
Good morning and welcome to our blether this morning, where we come to understand and know what's happening in the surrounding parishes in our area grouping. And we start to with Clooney and Money Mask.
Hey, thank you, and it's lovely to be with you. Just a few intimations really from us in our corner of the wood. We have last Wednesday started our new members inquiry class, and I'm delighted that we have three people who are expressing an interest to make a public profession of faith. Also this coming week, our Kirk session at Clooney and Congregation of Board at Clooney will meet, and on the agenda is the journey of the area group, among other things, and we're hoping for a positive outcome with that, depending on how you describe positive. Our mainly music group continues, and next Sunday, I'll actually not be in church. I'm having a Sunday off, and so it will be a digital service. I have recorded a couple of services, a complete service. We're not going to use a joint service. I'm going to use a complete service by myself that I'd recorded for if I had been in isolation, that we could use. So it will be easier for me to have a few days off and just record that rather than wait and add the joint service in later. So my apologies for my colleagues. It's no offence to you, but it's just easier for me. So that's what's happening this week. So I think we'll go to Joshua now for Kemney.
Thanks, Ewan. And it's nice to see everybody today. Greetings from Kemney Manse. In terms of what's going on in Kemney, for this Sunday, we're taking a pause with the school break of our Sunday school. We'll be continuing with worship in the church at 10 a.m. We're continuing to look at the book of James, looking this week at what James has to say about wisdom from below and wisdom from above. So that's the main thing that's happening in Kemney this week. And later on, we, like in Clooney, we'll have had a meeting of our Kirk session to discuss the proposal to the Kirk sessions about the way forward in shared ministry as well. And so we will await the outcome of that meeting alongside Clooney. So that's what's happening in Kemney right now. And I'll pass it over to Stella and Blair Daff and Chapel of Geary.
Hello and good morning and welcome to everyone as they're listening to this blether. Noted an awful lot of news. We're welcoming you in today on Sunday and Neil next week as our ministers in rotation. And the only other thing to report is that we've had our quinquennial inspection and seemed to pass that with good colours as our buildings are in good order, but I just love that name, the quinquennials. That's our every fifth year. So passing on to Neil.
Thank you, Stella. From Kintore, there's not much news, just our regular events, our Friday morning drop-in from 9:30 till 11, where you can pop by for a cup of tea and a chat, and also to make donations to the food bank. Then on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. on Zoom, we have our Bible chat. We're working through the Sermon on the Mount at the moment in Matthew chapter 5. And other news is that starting from today, from this Sunday, we will not be taking names at the door any longer, but we will still need a track and trace record for folk who come through for tea after the service. It's one of the anomalies of the track and trace system. So that's in Kintore. I know there are other things happening at other churches, but if you happen to be worshiping at Kintore today, that is, and from now on, that will be the case. Right, that's it from Kintore. Back to you, Tose.
Okay, thank you, Neil. Now we thank the Lord for this time. This is the time for worship now. This is the day that the Lord has made for us. Let us worship together.
I think they ought to invent masks with hinges so you can just go like that when you're leading. We're going to open our worship with the hymn Immortal, Invisible, God Only Wise. Let us stand and sing. As we come to the Lord in prayer, I'm going to read from Psalm 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over the works of your hands and put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Lord, we do praise you for creating us to share in your love. to share in that eternal love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We praise you for the wonders of your creation, for the earth and everything within it, for the immensity and complexity of space. And Lord, as we praise you for this, we praise you for your love in redeeming us. Having turned our backs on you, you came into the world to save us through Christ. He came to save us from our rebellion by dying and dying on the cross. We praise you for that amazing love. And we praise you for the Holy Spirit who enables us to receive your gift of life and live within it. Lord, as we praise you and thank you for your amazing love, we thank you for your redemption. We do know that we don't always live within it. Forgive us for when we have strayed. Forgive us for when we have not done the things that you wanted us to do, and we've refused to do what is right. Lord, we pray that you'll forgive us. We pray that today you'll speak to us and strengthen us with your wisdom, your love, and your power. And Lord, help us to come closer to you and be a greater light to this community around us. And we pray for our neighbouring churches too. We pray that we might all be inspired and encouraged by you today. And Lord, as we pray for ourselves, we thank you very much that we can come here so freely. And Lord, we pray for all those around the world who cannot be with us, who cannot join together because of persecution or opposition. And we pray for those of our own congregation who can't be here because of illness. We pray that you will be near to them and that they know that they are loved by you. And may you surround them with that love and your comfort. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Our next hymn is Make Me a Channel of Your Peace.
Thank you.
reading from scripture this morning is from James chapter 3 and verses 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes down from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. May God bless his reading to us. Lord, we pray that you will guide us as we study this passage. Help us to hear you speaking to us. May we be inspired and encouraged. And Lord, may we come closer to you in Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, this morning we are continuing to look at the book of James. And today we are focusing on the second part of chapter 3, which deals with what is probably one of the most elusive things in human life, which is wisdom. I'm glad to say that when I was asked to lead the service, Joshua had actually prepared some notes, so I didn't have to start from scratch. So I've been able to incorporate Joshua's notes and my thoughts as well to bring together a sermon. But it's really good to be able to continue this series because I think there's a lot that's been coming out from James over the last few weeks. So rather than doing something completely different, it's nice to actually be able to continue the focus on this letter. So we're looking today at wisdom. So what is wisdom? If you look at the dictionary, it defines it as being in possession of experience and knowledge, together with the power of applying them critically and practically. So, from this definition, we can see that wisdom is not just about knowing or understanding things, but knowing how to apply them in practice. There are lots of sayings about wisdom. For example, just thinking of someone fairly contemporary, Aristotle. Knowing yourself is the beginning of all wisdom. And Socrates, the only true wisdom is in knowing that you know nothing. How about that? How about that for wisdom? Well, we can debate those definitions or those sayings. But of course, if we want to find out what wisdom means in the light of God's revelation, we need to look at the Bible. And the Bible is far from silent on the topic of wisdom. As Joshua has stated at the beginning of each of his sermons from James, there is a great deal of similarity between James' letter and the book of Proverbs. Wisdom is a core subject of James' letter, and the passage we're looking at in particular. It's also a core part of the teaching in Proverbs, and there are many, many passages in Proverbs that deal with wisdom. One of the most famous biblical teachings about wisdom comes from chapter 9 of the book of Proverbs, and verse 10 to 11, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." Throughout the book of Proverbs, wisdom is often personified as a woman, and a woman who is calling for all who hear her to heed her words and live by them. And one of the best examples is in chapter 8, with sayings such as, "I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I, wisdom, hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have understanding and power." In verse 22 of that chapter, The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was appointed from eternity, from the beginning, before the world began. The passage continues describing how wisdom was at the forefront of God's creation, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in the creation of mankind. Wisdom is an essential attribute of God and all his acts. James and Proverbs both exhort us to live in the wisdom that comes from God. But how do we, as mere mortal beings, begin to be able to do this? Joshua has very helpfully pointed out four sources for spiritual wisdom from God, and I shall use these. There's no point in turning down a good piece of advice, is there? That's wisdom for you. The first is reverence. We live in a posture of reverence for God. This is very much in accordance with the quote from Proverbs 9 we mentioned, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight." This is about living in awe of our God, knowing that he is beyond our comprehension, yet also understanding that he reaches out to us in love. So he's beyond our comprehension, but he is reaching out to us to get to know him. And this reverence leads to the second source, which is conversion. When we're in awe of God and we realize that he's reaching out to us, we realize that he's inviting us to come to him, and we come to him in Christ. And when we come to him in Christ, we are rooted in the wisdom of God. It is on the basis of God's wisdom and wise action that John recalls Jesus' teaching in chapter 3 of his gospel in verse 16 to 17. Joshua quoted it last week, and I could ask Leslie to quote it verbatim, I'm sure. His favourite verses: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That's the wisdom of God. As we grasp this momentous truth in Peter's words, recorded in Acts 2, we are exhorted to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And he promises that we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who enables us to receive, and he's the one who teaches us God's wisdom. The third source is Scripture. Scripture is a true source for God's wisdom. God's teaching is the basis of our wisdom as Christians. "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me." That's from Psalm 119. And in the New Testament, Paul writes to Timothy in his second letter, chapter 3 and verse 14. "Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." And the fourth source is prayer, an essential path to true wisdom. Think back to the beginning of James in chapter 1, verse 5, where he says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." These are the four means by which we come to know and experience God's wisdom. So let's go to this morning's passage. In this morning's passage, James challenges us to demonstrate our wisdom. Is it by the things we know? Is that what he's saying? No, but by the way that we live our lives. Let's read verse 13 again. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. So just as James has said that faith without works is dead, wisdom without practical, humble expression in the way we live, in our lives, is redundant. Note the requirement for humility. Wisdom could lead to pride, couldn't it? Aren't I clever? I know all things. I can understand so much. Who can challenge me for wisdom? Yes, you could become really proud. But the wisdom from God realizes that it actually depends entirely on God's grace and generosity. Such a realization leads to humility. It's not us who's wise, it's God's gift to us that enables us to be wise. James then goes on to provide a stark contrast between the wisdom of God and what he considers to be false wisdom. And how is this false wisdom expressed? In verse 14, James says, it is expressed in the harboring of or holding on to bitter envy and selfish ambition. Verse 15 goes on to describe the character of false wisdom. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. Here, James uses an ascending order of negative adjectives about the origins of false wisdom. Earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. You could say they're ascending, or you could say they're descending, actually. You could look at it either way, couldn't you? This pseudo-wisdom or false wisdom is earthly. The world is its source and boundary. The truth is clear. The so-called wisdom, which is proud, ambitious, and quarrelsome, comes from the world. In other words, it comes from humans who have abandoned God and followed their own values. Ultimately, such false wisdom comes from the devil. We must never let anyone convince us that bitter envy and selfish ambition is just a part of life, or that if we don't learn to give as good as we get, we will never succeed in life. Verse 16 describes the result of false wisdom. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. I don't think it takes much imagination to see the truth of that. You look at the world around us, we look at the conflicts in the world, we look at the conflicts on the big scale, and we look at conflicts on the small scale. Can't we see that envy and selfish ambition are the motors behind a lot of these conflicts? And this is the wisdom of the world. James' message is simple. Just as these things drive the conflicts in the world, when we look at ourselves in the church, there must be no place for pride, envy, or selfish ambition. Anyone who says that this false wisdom is okay or indeed necessary to contend with daily life is an unwitting messenger of the devil, and we must not let him get a hold. We must allow no place for harshness, criticism, or clever comments masquerading as wisdom. In contrast to this, we have God's wisdom from above. In verse 17, true wisdom from above is pure. The word we translate as pure means undefiled or morally pure. Such wisdom is marked by an unmixed devotion to God. Joshua pointed out that it is most significant that purity is positioned as the very first characteristic of wisdom from above. He quotes the scholar James Adamson, who said it is the key to all the qualities of wisdom listed in the passage we read. True wisdom is pure, and it is from purity that peace-loving, gentleness, consideration, submissiveness, mercy and good fruits, impartiality and sincerity arise. So let's look at these qualities one by one. Peace-loving and gentle. This characteristic of wisdom, which our translation renders as peace-loving, can be translated literally as peaceful. This does not suggest, as some may hear it, an attitude of peace by abdication or avoidance. Instead, James is commending a peaceful spirit and the active promotion of peace in our relationships and our society. Where we see conflict, we actively seek to promote peace and reconciliation. And that was very much the spirit of that hymn we just sang about, Lord, make me a channel of your peace. Considerate. The great linguist Archbishop Trench said there is no word in English or Latin to adequately translate this word, considerate. Nevertheless, the idea is fairly clear. It describes the kind of person who, though wrong and possessing the so-called right to retaliate, chooses to forgo their rights. Being considerate also means thinking about the impacts of our words and actions on another person before we utter or enact them. Now that's a bit hard, isn't it? Thinking about the consequences or the likely consequences before we utter or enact our words. Submissive. So this quality is best understood as being open to persuasion and reason. A wise mind is never closed off from the possibility of learning something new. Joshua provided an example in Abraham Lincoln, which you might not be surprised to find out is his favourite president. On one occasion, Abraham Lincoln, to please a certain politician, issued a command to transfer certain regiments. When Secretary of War Edwin Stanton received the order, he refused to carry it out, saying the president was a fool. It's not the best thing to say, really, is it, normally? When Lincoln was told this, he replied, "If Stanton said I'm a fool, then I must be, for he's nearly always right. I'll see for myself." As the two men talked, the president quickly realized that his decision was a serious mistake, and without hesitation, he withdrew it. That's a great story, isn't it? A teachable, open spirit is often a major key in diffusing conflict. If we think we know it all and we have all wisdom, then really we are fools. Actually, being able to share a problem, talk it over with others, pray about it with others, is a sign of humility and real wisdom, because we learn from each other and we can see the problems that might be associated with one course of an action because somebody else sees something that we didn't see. That is wisdom, not pretending we know it all. So wisdom is full of mercy and good fruits. Paul gives a great example of submission and mercy in the letter of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 12 following. "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else." They're lovely words, aren't they? They're much better than bitter envy. Impartial. As Christians, we need to abstain both from favoritism and prejudice, as James taught us in chapter 2. Sincere. Those who are filled with God's wisdom are the same in private and in public. What you see is what you get. In verse 18, James then goes on to summarize the fruits of true wisdom. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. The sense here is peacemakers produce something in the atmosphere of peace, of the peace that they create. The harvest of righteousness is something that flows from this peacefulness that they create and the peaceful actions they do. It is not passive, it is active. As people of God, we are to be peacemakers in all parts of our lives and relationships. This is in emulation of God through Christ, as stated in Colossians 1, verse 19 to 20. God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, Jesus, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Righteousness cannot be produced in the climate of bitterness and selfish ambition, fostered by the wisdom that is earthly and spiritual and of the devil. Righteousness can only grow in the climate of peace given by God. God's wisdom is the true source of the kind of harvest the church truly needs. So as a reminder, we enter into God's wisdom through reverence, conversion, through reading and practicing what we learn from Scripture, and through prayer. This wisdom, with all its attributes, leads to a harvest of righteousness which glorifies God. But it's not something that we acquire or attain as a one-off. It is something we need to grow into throughout our lives. It is also something for which we have to rely entirely upon the Holy Spirit. This is why Paul prays for churches to grow in wisdom. And in closing, I want to encourage us all to follow Paul's example, stated in his letter to the Colossians in chapter 1, verse 9 and following. Since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, and being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully give thanks to the Father. Wisdom is the way of life in Christ, and we are to pray and urge each other on to grow in wisdom and love. May his Spirit lead us ever onwards in this way of life, so that we can come closer to the Lord and shine more brightly in our witness to our society. Amen. We're going to sing now, Spirit of Truth and Grace. Let's sing this prayerfully. Let us stand and sing, Spirit of Truth and Grace.
let us come together with prayers for the world. Let us pray. Dear loving Father, in our local community, our country, and the world at large, we have witnessed much change and turmoil lately in the form of stormy weather and combative words and aggressive actions. The stormy weather has damaged property and uprooted so many of our trees, causing much damage and heartache. Our landscape has changed. But when we did bravely venture out after the strong winds subsided, delicate little snowdrops were poking their noses out too. Thank you, Lord, for providing us with that sign of hope, lifting our spirits as we reconnect with this wonderful world that you have created for us. Help us to care for it and explore its beauty and its subtle evolving contrasts. We all remember the Feed the World campaign of the 1980s, the starving people of Ethiopia. Once more, tragedy has struck the Horn of Africa. There have been 3 failed rainy seasons. Dear Lord, guide the leaders of the better-off countries to turn their attention away from selfish, land-grabbing and bickering rhetoric and take account of those millions of people who are suffering from malnutrition and desperately seeking the essential commodities of food, water and shelter. They need help now. We pray too for the people of Madagascar, who a few weeks ago suffered a terrible cyclone. And before they had time to clear up and evaluate the damage caused, a second cyclone hit them. Help them, Lord, to work together and move forward. Each day we hear of worrying tension growing on the borders of Ukraine, the building up of troops, etc., by the Russians, and the anxiety voiced by the NATO countries. Despite the signing of the Minsk II agreement only 3 years ago, it seems possible that an invasion will take place soon, resulting in a terrible war and loss of life. We pray that the leaders of Russia and the NATO allies can keep talking to one another, be prepared to compromise, so that the inhabitants of Ukraine and the Baltic countries can continue to live in peace without fear of invasion. In this Mental Health Week, we are encouraged to focus on growing together, especially emotionally in both hearts and heads. Help us, Lord, to cope with life's ups and downs, knowing that you are always with us. Our support through the good times and the more trying times. Help us also to help others to feel that warmth and that support too. We do know of some people who are struggling just now. We bring these names before you now, Lord. We include the Angus family and the Chisholm family. Wrap them with your love and guide us to be their support in this, their difficult time. As with the world you have provided for us, we too are evolving, like a flowing stream, never stagnant. Guide us on our way, Lord, banishing negativity, being positive, kind, and respectful in our interactions with others. May your grace and your wisdom be with us through the coming week as we join together saying the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The wisdom of God is demonstrated absolutely wonderfully in the life of Christ. He had all power and all authority, and yet he lived amongst us in humility, and he humbled himself even to death on the cross. And we're going to sing our closing hymn, Meekness and Majesty, the combination which is found in Christ, Meekness and Majesty. You to fill us with the knowledge of your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that we may live a life worthy of you and may please you in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of yourself, and being strengthened with all power according to your glorious might, that we might have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks to you, the Father. We praise you for your love and your grace. We pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore.